Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fathead Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week once again by Tom and Donnie. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Donnie?
Yep, I'm fine. Good to be back.
Excellent, excellent. Right, so we're going to get back into normal now. We're going to start with our league top three and we'll go through the game week. First of all, this is our own league, so it's not the Mega League, obviously. So number one is at Fox in the Box. That's London Road Warriors with a total score of 243, so good shooting. Second is at McColgan 82, Real Pastecoglou, 81 points, 242 overall. Third is E6 Hammers RFC, 86 points, 241. And Donny is just outside it at fourth. I was looking to see if there's any other names there. Kelly Lyons, that's a... Petra's normally near the top all the time as well, so a couple of the usual folk there. So we will now go to score and league position. I think. So I'll start this week because I'm obviously, we'll start from the lowest to top, makes sense, doesn't it? Because I'm the lowest. I'm getting envious of all the high scores. So I took a hit this week. I had to get Joe in. That was obviously one of the worst decisions I made at the start of the season. Chased my tail off since. So I took a hit. I took Lawrence from the CDL Team News, and I brought in Jota and Miowski for Aberdeen, so the hit actually worked. 83 points, minus 4, so Roos and goals for 1 point, Captain Tavernier 18, Scales 4, Mayo 2, Taylor 6, Ayunga 6, Jota 11, Henderson 2, Kulak 12, Shanklin 13, Miowski 8, nothing on the bench, and I've now rose up to 713th, so... Considering I was 2,600 2 weeks ago, I'm quite happy with the improvement. I'm expecting to get slow now. You're starting to reach people that are probably taking the game more serious. But over to you, Donnie, with your score and game week, or sorry, overall rank.
Okay, so I had 2 free transfers this week. I used them both. I made a change in defence. I wanted to get rid of my Hearts defender. Atkinson, he wasn't playing, so... I changed him for Devlin, and seeing that Lawrence wasn't starting, I swapped him out for Tillman, which I guess in hindsight I probably could have left him, but I wanted to be safe. So I've got Roos and goals for 1 point, Captain Tav 18, Lewis Mayo 2, Taylor for 6, Scales for 4, then we had Tillman for 10, Ayunga 6, Jota 11, Kolak 7, Vice-Captain Tomiowski was 13 and Furuhashi 9. So that gave me a total of 87 points, which is a global score of 237, which is 33rd spot in the big league. So I'm only 30 points off the top spot, so quite happy with that.
Not too bad. Tom, yourself?
I got a total of 78 points this week, and that gives me a league position of 155. In goals, I had Roos for 1 point, Captain Tav 18, Scales 4, Mayo 2, and Taylor 6, midfield Ayunga 6, Lawrence 6, Jota 11, Henderson 2, Vice Miowski was 13, and Furuhashi 9.
Okay, okay, good. So I'm going to go through the results and I'll come over to you separately for your wee bits and bobs and we'll take it away. So game week 3, we had Saturday games first. St Mirren 1, Ross County 0, then we had Rangers 4, St Johnson 0, Livingston 2, Hibernian 1, Aberdeen 2, Motherwell 3, and then on Sunday, excuse me, Kilmarnock 0, Celtic 5, and Hearts 4, Dundee United 1. So over to you, Tom.
So first fixture I've got on my list is Aberdeen 2, Motherwell 3. For Aberdeen, it was Miofsky that scored with an assist from Scales, and Johnny Hayes got the second goal. Motherwell, it was Spittle with an assist from Shields, Slattery with an assist from Goss, and Van Veen scored the winner. Van Veen was probably the standout amongst the stats. He had a total of 5 shots, 2 on, 1 off, and 2 blocked. Spittle, who scored the opener, he also hit the crossbar, and it was actually Van Veen that scored the rebound. So I think Spittle's perhaps one to watch in the Motherwell squad. A good result for Motherwell. Aberdeen's not an easy place to go. Looking at Aberdeen, pod favourite Miofsky, he scored again. I was surprised to see his ownership only jumped up around 3% since last week. So he was around about 11, and now he's around about 14%. So a little bit of a differential still. I was kind of surprised because he's joint third highest scorer in the game just now, joint with Shankland, and only bettered by Tav and Yota. Aberdeen, no clean sheet yet this season. I'm probably going to stick with Roos, as I don't really want to make a goalkeeper transfer. Scales, perhaps a different story. He did get the assist, and Aberdeen's run is a bit more favourable coming up. They've got St Johnstone away, Livy at home, Ross County away. So not too bad on paper. Perhaps we can afford to hold for now. In terms of Motherwell, I'm not going to get too carried away and jump on Motherwell players just yet. They do have a nice run coming up as well. They face Livingston at home, Kilmarnock away, Dundee United at home, and then Ross County away. So probably going to keep a close eye on that fixture versus Livingston and take it from there. Ross Tierney, he came on at 76 minutes and he managed 2 big chances in the game. He missed both, but at 2.9 million. That's not bad considering the limited minutes he had. Spittle, as mentioned, he comes in at 3.2 million, so he could be a nice midfield enabler. Peter, anything to add on that one?
I think we discussed this in our chat. I think I'm starting to get pretty annoyed with Aberdeen double up defence, but the fixtures are kind of plumb. They've been plumb for this week as well, so I'm going to have to kind of wait and see. I disagree with you with the Scales and Roos. I'm more inclined to keep Scales, I think. I think he looks quite attacking threat. So if a cheap goalkeeper becomes more apparent next couple of game weeks, I think it'll be Roos will be coming off him because he's not passing eye test either. He's kind of, all the time I see him, he's standing still and watching goals go flying. A bit of the Barkas about him, if you ask me. So this week I won't touch because it's St Johnstone and probably the worst team in the group. But as the weeks go on, I'm just keeping an eye on the goalkeepers, who's coming up with the recent points, who's a cheap alternative, and might make my move from Roos to that. Because I know we double up in defence, but one goal and that's you two, you're five, two if you're playing for the back, that's you two wiped out straight away. And it's, if you can even change it to maybe a Motherwell keeper or a Kamarnock keeper, then at least you could double the chance and split it. At least one has a clean sheet. So it was good at the start, we're good on paper, but I think I'm going to slowly coming off the idea to keep Aberdeen double up. Motherwell, I think, they appointed Hamill just in charge, so it's quite early on. He's talking about getting some players in for into the window as well. So I think he wanted 7 out of 10 to the week players just to kind of help the squad. So that's more I watch to see, you know, if he builds his squad. Obviously, the players do like him. They believe in him within the club. So we'll see if that ends out. I still, even though they won this game, I'm still thinking I'm still going to keep targeting St Johnstone Motherwell as it stands until I'm shown it's maybe more than just a kind of fluke result.
Donny, what do you reckon?
So the Miofsky owners were continue to be rewarded. He got his goal quite early on. He was actually quite unlucky with another effort. So he's consolidated his position up front. He seems good on the ball and with his head. I think this one does cast a cloud over Aberdeen. Okay, they had Celtic in the first game and a good win in game week 2. But to be 2-1 up and to lose 2 goals quite quickly, it is disappointing. And as we've all said, the double defence is starting to hurt now. I'll give them one more chance against St Johnstone. If you can't keep a clean sheet against St Johnstone, then you really do have worries. I'd be the same. I'd swap out the goalkeeper. We've made a bit of money on him. So it kind of gets you closer to other keepers of similar values. I don't know if it was just me, but on TV, the guy Roos looks quite small. It's just maybe the angle the camera was at. He didn't look too big for a goalie. Motherwell, 2 wins out of 3 now. They're 4th in the league, so they've certainly got their European woes behind them, and with good fixtures to come, I think there maybe is value in this team, unlike Peter, so it's definitely one to watch. As I say, Aberdeen will monitor the next fixture and see how it goes from there.
Is it Motherwell that's got the player Kelly that's playing out of position? Is that Motherwell? Or is
no,
that...
that's Livingston.
Livingston, right. See Tom Ford, see the Majowski comment, the presenting. Is that maybe because a lot of the casuals have been looking at names and you see they want Furuhashi, Celtic, and they want Colac right now, Rangers, and they probably get Shankland? And there's a
it's probably between Shankland. But they're similar price points. It's probably between Shankland and Majowski, and you're going to go one way or the other.
And he's a known name if you don't know the game, so that's why percentage might be still so low.
Yeah, maybe not waking up to the fact yet. That's a possibility. It will be now, though, if they kind of set their sentence to high scorer, then they'll see his name popping up near the top. And...
well, that's how I play the Norwegian game.
Aye, exactly. Aye, same, yeah. Yeah, for the first three game weeks, anyway. Next fixture, got St Mirren 1, Ross County 0. Not a lot to talk about in this one. Richard Tate got the goal for St Mirren. An assist from Ayunga, he's kind of ticking along nicely, 13 points over the last three games. He's still playing out of position, so he's playing as a striker when he's classed as a midfielder. He had a great effort early on, which I think hit the post. So it could have been a goal and assist in this game as well. And that was the first clean sheet of the season for St Mirren. Disappointing from County as they look quite attacking so far in the last two fixtures. They only managed a single shot on target in this game. That's three losses now. Granted, they were away to Hearts and then at home to Celtic, so perhaps more is yet to come from Ross County. The only Ross County player I'm really looking at is Awura. I feel he hit the post in this game. I think he hit the post in the Hearts game as well and missed a decent chance. At the same time, midfield position so far this season is quite a competitive position. There's a lot of options out there. So he's probably not one I'd be wanting to jump on just yet. And there's not really any other Ross County players on my radar just now. Hawula, he's currently stinking up my bench, not really doing much for the bench trick, so I may look to move him on when I've got a spare transfer going. Donny, anything to add on this fixture?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of notes for this one. Ayunga, as you've already mentioned, continues to impress. I've got him in my team and I'll hold him. He seems to get returns every game. He also does take pens. He had a penalty against Aberdeen, so it's another tick in the box. Good goal from Tate. Nice strike for the only goal of the game. And Edwards, yeah, every time I've watched Ross County, he has played well, but he just never seems to get the breaks. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that they're now bottom with three defeats out of three and they've only scored two goals. So that, to me, is a bit of a worry. As I say, neither team has any standout players other than Ayunga, who I've already got. And if you've got Edwards, probably keep a hold of him, but I wouldn't be jumping on either team. St Mirren, they've got some good fixtures, but Ross County, Kilmarnock, Rangers, Aberdeen, they'll struggle to get out of the rut some of those games. So we probably are expecting them to catch fire like they did last year, but I don't know if they will. Yet to see it, so I'll stay away for now.
Peter?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I'm of no real interest. The standout is Ayunga. I think we've all got him. You got him, Tom?
Yeah, yep, yep.
We've all got him, so he's the one that stands out. I mean, if any of these kind of, maybe two goalkeepers could become good, but right now I'm not interested in any of their kind of players. And I'm surprised. I thought Ross County would have kind of played a bit, looked, have came back. And also a few games in, so I suppose there's still plenty of time. They did come good last year after a bad start, so I suppose it's just kind of watching the game and look to see when these kind of fixtures, if they actually can turn it around. I do like the winger Edwards, Donny, but again, with Tom mentioned as well, there's that many midfielders in the game, probably more consistent returns that, unless he really catches fire, I don't see he's going there anytime soon.
No. Next fixture up, Livingston 2, Hibs 1. Nubly with the goal again, assist from Holt. Obalai with the winner, assist from Kelly. For Hibs, it was... Noah and Kenny, an assist from Ewan. Nubly is the only player that managed more than a single shot on target in this fixture. He scored the opener and also missed a big chance. I think he ran past three Hibs players completely unchallenged to score within 6 minutes, so it wasn't a great start for Hibs. and he does seem to be preferred over Bruce Anderson. And he could have had two goals in this game as well after the Chris Cadden blunder, which I spotted on the highlights. He's the fourth highest scoring forward in the game, just behind, he's only 1 point behind Kyogo. Looking at Livingston's defence, only one clean sheet so far this season. I was a bit disappointed that they conceded in this game, as I really wanted Fortress Tony Macaroni confirmed, but centre-back Obalai scored the winner. He's the joint second highest scoring defender. I know it's early days, but that's along with Tate at St Mirren, who you probably don't want to jump on, and Mortiz Jens at Celtic. Highest, obviously, Tav. But after three game weeks, as I said, it doesn't really mean a lot. Hibs, obviously, Boyle's back. He started on the bench and came on at half-time for Tavares. I think his presence did seem to give Hibs a lift. Kenny scored after a bit of a goal mouth scramble. It wasn't the best of goals, but the assist came from Ellie Ewan after it bounced off his face. So Ewan did challenge the goalkeeper, Shamal, later on in the game. And he actually did quite well to save it. I think we've kind of mentioned Ewan in the past as perhaps a decent budget striker. He's only 4 million. He might be 4.1 now, I'm not too sure. So it's one to keep an eye on there, or if you need to free up some funds. I think Boyle does look good, but not ready to jump on him just yet. I think given his influence in the Hibs team, oppositions may try to sort of freeze him out of the game. So that's something to consider there too. Peter, what your thoughts? Are you going to go for Boyle?
Well, eventually, but not right now. I'm waiting till he's fully fit and flown in that team. I mean, he's priced so much cheaper than he was last year, so it's not like you have to really break the budget to get him in. If he's back playing and he's back playing every week and getting 90 minutes, he's going to be influential, then I think eventually he'll have to get him in. Also, that will depend on Hibs' form turn as well. I do see kind of green shoots at Hibs. I think they will eventually come nut. I don't say they're going to be back or be great, but I think they're going to be not bad. I think he's going to have my set play set away. I don't fancy any at the back right now. I know Marshall's pulling off great saves against Hearts and that, but they're still conceding goals, so you're not getting many clean sheets as it stands right now. That could also change as the season progresses. Newbley, Kilmarnock, Livingston. I like the look of him because I think at some point I'm going to be dropping to probably one expensive striker and two cheapies with him. I think that's the way I'm sure you're going to tell me the top 10 again, Tom. Maybe not this week because quite a lot of strikers have turned, but eventually I'll be looking for some cheap enablers up front who are playing games. Martindale seems to wax lyrical about him, likes him, big strong lad. I quite like Livingston defence. I think they're normally quite stingy. I think, again, with weeks coming, I think they will get even more stingy. And again, it'll be a good option for one of the defenders to pick in. I think you bring in Devlin, Donny, the captain,
yeah, that's right.
Captain and a fullback. I mean, you can't get much more nailed than that, and he's got attack returns. I think he will eventually make his way into my team as well at some point. So that's about it, yep.
Yep. Donny, anything to add?
So new play. Second goal of the season and took it well. For a big guy, he's good in the air and good with his feet. So he is becoming a realistic option as a striker. You mentioned Ellie Ewan. He was one of my expert picks this week, so I thought he might have returned more. But as you say, the assist kind of smacked off his face. I don't know if he knew much about it. Anyone who did take in Boyle would have been disappointed. As you say, he only got 45 minutes and then he got booked. I don't know if he got booked for going up to the ref or was it his dive? He got booked for, I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
But he's got history for diving, so that wouldn't surprise me. Hibs defensively were pretty poor. Obalai was pretty much unmarked for the winner. However, they do play Rangers next, and they generally tend to raise their game there. Although Porteous is a bit of a bomb scare when he plays us, so usually gets sent off or concedes a pen. And we've not had a pen this season, so we're probably due one. Livingston, as I say, I took in a defensive asset because they are usually good and reliable in that department. So it's a bit unlucky to lose that goal. But I'll hold on to Devlin. I did read that he took a knock. So I'll just monitor that one. But you can't tend to go wrong with Livingston defence. Hibs, other than Henderson, I'm just using as a bench trick player. I'm not really keen to delve any further with them right now.
No. Peter? Oh, wait, we've had you. Sorry. Getting mixed up. Next fixture, Rangers 4, St Johnstone 0. Goals came from Tillman, assists from Tav, Cholak scored, assist from Matondo, Arfield scored, another assist from Matondo, and then Lawrence came off the bench to score the fourth with an assist from Arfield. Fairly straightforward win for Rangers, despite resting players for their midweek qualifier, which is tonight against PSV. Lawrence, Yilmaz and Morales were all on the bench, and Ryan Kent wasn't even in the squad. I thought Tillman looked like he had a good game. He looked dangerous in front of goal. Arfield, again, came off the bench to score. Perhaps not an FFS option, given he's not reliable to start, but he does look good when he comes on. And then Lawrence, as we mentioned, also came off the bench and scored. He's also been very consistent, ticking along quite nicely. The clean sheet was locked in, which was good for Captain Tav. But I was a little bit surprised to see his lack of bonus given the clean sheet and assist, but that's just the way it goes. St Johnstone only had a single shot on target in this game. It's probably not really worth dissecting their performance, given we're probably not interested in any of their players and they're playing at Ibrox. So something I'm considering though is, other than Tav, who are the kind of go-to Rangers assets given the rotation? And is the Yilmaz benching, is that going to be a problem going forward? So I'll come to you first, Donny, since you're a Rangers correspondent.
Yeah, so it was a good week for Rangers, overturning the European result in a comfortable 4-0 home victory against St Johnstone. I think what's pleasing as a Rangers fan is that their all-round play is much better. Last season, we relied probably too heavily on Kent and Aribo, and Kent, by his own standards, had a poor season. And then Aribo just went off the boil after Christmas. But what we're seeing now is everyone that we've brought in from attacking sense of view, Tillman, Matondo, Lawrence, Kolak, they're all getting in on the action. So we're certainly better in that department. All the goals were well taken. I think Kolak 3-3. I don't think he's worried about Morelos coming back. I think he'll continue to get the game time. Morelos was out, 5 months plus. It's going to take him time to get up to speed. So I think you can probably hold on to him. This was the game where everyone was probably changing their teams because Lawrence was out. I went to Tillman and he got the goal. Whether I keep him or go back to Lawrence, I'll just wait and see. But I'm not unhappy having him in between. I think he does offer value. Matondo got two assists. I think he is a player that could catch fire this season. He seems exciting and certainly what we're looking for on the other side. Kent was just rested, same with Sands. Also the big game tonight against PSV, so no issues there. I think from the fullback point of view, probably going to have to persevere with Barisic at the back, at least until after the PSV games. I think he'll continue to get those spots. I think Davies coming in at left centre-back, we'll probably see him there partnering Goldson. So that's probably a reliable back four that you're starting to see from that point of view. But no, it was good all-round play, all the new guys getting in the action. So you've got Tav, Kolak is probably your two certainties. And then if you want to go Matondo, Tillman or Lawrence, I think you'll get points out of all of those. And as you mentioned, St Johnstone, you learn nothing new other than just stay away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pierre, you happy what you've seen at Ibrox?
Am I happy? for fantasy point, yes. And kind of, well, yes and yes, I suppose. There's more players becoming apparent you can go on now, which before, I think we asked Donny before us, he's always stuck to just two or three and you wouldn't really have any more because they weren't reliable midfield or it was only Morelos up front. But now you're definitely getting maybe between five and six Rangers players you can go to. So it will just be on the week if you pick the right one. I've been quite fortunate so far with all the early team news. I mean, obviously, I mean, Donny both had Lawrence on our team, I think. So I moved to Jota, he moved to Tillman, is that right?
Yeah,
then he also came on and scored anyway, but there's no saying that I want Lawrence back in the team as soon as I see him. Probably my Rangers three right now is Tavernier. I think I'll have him. Kolak up front, and I'm going to have Lawrence back in, I think. I originally wanted to get to Yilmaz, but as Donny said, the rotation is just a bit too much, you know, as if Barisic takes up his game a wee bit. So I think Lawrence is more for my budget right now. Again, Tillman's there, Matondo, but there's rotational risk, but that's what's going to be the case, I think, with most Rangers and Celtic assets. Now, apart from maybe the two or three nailed people, you can mention probably the captains. Golson for Rangers and maybe Carter Vickers for Celtic. Apart from that, you're running the risk. Players are going to get dropped. Players are going to get changed. There's going to be cup games coming soon. There's going to be European games. I mean, we're both definitely in Europe to November anyway, so you're going to be midweek games. So you're just running. This is where you're probably best having a decent one to two players on the bench that you can rely on them coming in if these guys don't play. So Johnson, like you said, no interest. I'd be targeting him every week. I thought they were going to get scalped this week. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, I was sweating for a bit. I had Colak vice-captain, and I thought, he's not going to score here, and he's going to get hauled off from Morelos. But he did return eventually, so it did work out in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Other side of Glasgow then. No, it wasn't Glasgow. It was Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock 0, Celtic 5. Big score for Celtic. Kyogo scored the opener. Assist from Maeda. Yota scored the second. Assist from Maeda. Jens scored, no assist. Starfelt scored, no assist. And Jakimakis scored with no assist either. Kyogo also hit the woodwork in this game. And unfortunately for owners, he came off after 66 minutes, which is probably something we're likely to see in the future. If games are kind of wrapped up, then Kyogo's probably going to be off early. And at 7.8 million, I think that's a little bit of a concern. That's the second time it's happened so far this season. On a sort of side note, my own thoughts was I was considering downgrading Kyogo to Cholak or Shankland or Nubley, or for non-owners, Miovski. And then you could use the money to beef up a midfield. So I kind of had a bit of a look at combinations. So this is just kind of a bit of a side note. So if you bear with me. So looking at my own personal situation, Kyogo and Henderson at Hibs. They have a combined score of 28. Kyogo is 20, Henderson is 8, and a combined cost of 10.8 million. Now, if I was to downgrade Kyogo and upgrade Henderson, I could get Nubley in and Barry Mackay. They have a total of 48 points, quite a bit more, and a combined cost of 9.8 million. So that frees up another million to then spend elsewhere and perhaps upgrade another player. Other combinations are Shankland and Spittle. They've got combined 44 points, combined cost of 9.2, which frees up 1.6 million to spend elsewhere as well. And then for non-Miovski owners, if you were to get him in and Mackay, they're the best combination of non-Celtic and Rangers players. That's a combined combination of 50 points with 0.4 million to spare. So I don't know what you guys are considering about that. Just other points of note in the game. There's the Jens debate, and we kind of had a conversation in a group chat, though it seems like he's picked up a knock, so that's maybe not a concern. We were kind of thinking, is he an even cheaper way into the Celtic defence, even cheaper than Greg Taylor? He seems to be preferred over Starfelt, but then he got the knock. Starfelt came on. He only got an assist last season, but then he scored. Jens scored over the last two games. So it's probably best to kind of maybe just stick with Greg Taylor, particularly now that we know that Bernabe was arrested for drunk driving on the weekend. So that's kind of probably cemented.
He's nailed. That's definitely nailed now.
He's definitely nailed now. So that's maybe not a concern. I'm kind of thinking Yota Taylor, who could the third Celtic asset be? You could possibly get Jens in and maybe use him as part of the bench trick. We've talked about Roos being a bit underwhelming. You could look at jumping over to Hart in goals. O'Reilly, he has 15 points, but Welsh, Jens and Hart are all outscoring him. But O'Reilly is the second highest scoring mid behind Yota, so could be a consideration as well. Kilmarnock, not much to say there. Ollie Shaw had managed a couple of shots on target. He's yet to score this season, but he did play Rangers last week as well, so maybe not a lot to go on there. I'll come to you, Peter. What's your thoughts downgrading your...
There's a lot to take in there, wasn't there? First of all, your Furuhashi point, that's what I kind of did do this week, because I was talking midweek, it was either Furuhashi or Shacklin I was going to downgrade, and I had the same... I said, I think, brought up last week in the podcast yourself, Tom. I worry about his minutes. I know he can score goals. He probably, as Donny's mentioned, he's probably going to score every second game, which is fine. But you're going to get a game where he won't score. And then Giamakis is going to want more game time. I don't see Ian changing his system. He put two up top. I don't think it fits. It's only one or the other. I just think he scores great, but it's close to that 60-minute mark and he's not scored. You know he's going to get hauled off first, and that's going to be a quite nervy to watch a week if you're a manager. Whereas I think Shankland, if Shankland's playing, he's pretty much nailed the 90 minutes. Maybe not full 90, but all the time. I mean, it's shooting Sunday. I've done that. I've went Shankland and out. I've took through the hash out. I know it's going to come back and bite you some weeks, but it's where this other third Celtic would be. Ideally, I want one of the centre-backs. I know Carter Vickers probably won't be pricey. So I'm kind of happy just to sit with two Celtic players right now until I see over the next two game weeks who's going to be inside Carter Vickers. Just on that, Postecoglou did say that he's fine, by the way. I think he was just a knock and he should be back for available. So maybe this game week we'll see who's going to be the one next to him. I mean, I don't know if you watched the game, Donny, but as a West Celtic fan, my dad doesn't like Carter Vickers, not Carter Vickers, Starfelt. And when he came on the first 5 minutes, he was like a headless chicken, passing the ball at the pitch, running to players. And I'm going, my dad was sitting in the house and going like, get him off. But he did eventually come good. I think Jens, just with eye test, looks better at the back. He's getting more of a ire about him when they come out with the ball at his feet, which I think that's what Postecoglou will want to open up teams. So unless Starfelt can start putting that strength in his bow, I think it'll be Jens as long as he's fit. What's another point? Kilmarnock. I mean, I expect Kilmarnock to be a lot tougher team to beat on that pitch under McInnes. So they could be for a long half season as well. They didn't look impressive. I mean, they didn't have any plan B. Once they scored early, that was it. They didn't try to change anything, try to open up. I know we talk about Kyle Lafferty. I think he just looked like a player. Maybe he's just a year too old now for this league. Looked to be struggling a wee bit. I think he was at fault for two of the goals as well, with his men just watching. So, Kilmarnock's a no for me. I've got Mayo as a cheap defender. There's no other cheaper playing defender at that price. So, I'm not going to change him. I mean, Kilmarnock will get results down the line and he's come off the bench. And the Celtic, I'm just sticking with two assets now until the third one becomes a pair apparent and I can get them in.
Yep. And your thoughts, Donny?
So I watched the game on Sports Scene. So this is my analysis. Kyogo, the opener for me, the cross. Jota was a tap-in for the second. Pretty poor goalkeeping, really.
That's lucky.
Jens with a toe poke for the third. And then I managed to jinx him with the clean sheet points by saying he should be subbed, and he was. Lafferty was denied a clear pen. You both missed that. Stafford at the fourth. Giakoumakis with another toe poke for his goal. So it was a pretty quiet game, really. Celtic continue to be dangerous all over the pitch. For me, I'm not going to be talked out of Kyogo. I think he's far too dangerous in terms of his goal involvement. So until I see anything else, I will stay loyal to him. So Jota and Kyogo are two that are in my team. I also have Taylor, which I think initially was just the cheapest way into the Celtic defence. I just wish he offered more. That's probably the only disappointment. He has gone up in value. I think he's gone up 0.2 million. So I'll keep a hold, and then if I can cash in and go to Jens, then I might do that. What about the other side of the pitch? Do you think Juranovic is the same type of player as he was last year? You know, Ralston's sitting on the bench waiting to come on, but have we maybe just got our rose-tinted glasses because he took pens and got points?
See, just on I was going to bring this up, inverted wingers. Basically, when you watch Taylor, he's playing as like a holding midfielder now because he comes out of the midfield. Juranovic has still got more license to be up the wing. I don't know if you agree, Tom. So it was the same as I said last year with Ralston. As if out of the two of them, obviously, Taylor has took to the inverted role better, so he's the one that's trusted to come in more. So Juranovic he had a good game, Juranovic, I thought, and he was up that, especially when Abada came on. He's got a right good connection with Abada, but it's whether they play together that often enough that they can do the overlap. Mm-hmm. Again, we're only a couple of weeks in. What was Janovich's price compared to Carter Vickers?
Oh, he's about 4 million, I think.
So he's roughly somewhere the same. I mean, I don't know. I like Carter Vickers is more nailed. He's maybe more dangerous at set plays, but we haven't had the penalty yet, so I don't know if Janovich is on penalty still. Even though he's not missed any, so it's just.
Janovich is 4.3 and Carter Vickers is 4.1.
So he's probably the most expensive way in the Celtic defence. And so,
yeah.
I mean, there will be times I'm assuming he'll go nuts, he'll go on a couple of assists and maybe have a penalty in a game. But the way we should be playing now is because he's got the two natural wingers, the fullbacks aren't pushing as far as I thought they were last year, but they're causing him in midfield, dragging players out, which is letting Jota, especially Maeda, kind of be further forwards. It's just a pity that Maynard's price is a striker because he's really expensive. So he couldn't really have made an for Asher team and Tavernier. You'd be totally breaking your team to get them in. So
yeah,
it's just my opinion on it.
No, no, that's good. Just on Kilmarnock, you know, three of the games that they've played so far have been Rangers and Celtic, so they'll look to get some easier fixtures and maybe we'll see their assets in a better light. But other than Mayo, same as you, Peter, 2.2 million, just keep them on the bench till they get a clean sheet. There's nothing else there that you would go for.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yep, agreed. Last fixture of the weekend was Hearts 4, Dundee United 1. Shankland got the opener with an assist from Devlin. Mackay scored with an assist from Rawls. George Grant scored. Ginley scored with an assist from Shankland. And Dundee got the consolation goal. It was a penalty taken by Stephen Fletcher. Hearts, 13 shots, 12 on target. Don't often see that in a Scottish Premier League game. So quite surprised there. Shankland had three of those shots on target, which was the same as last week as well. He's very accurate in front of goal. He's had two goals, one assist, five bonus points so far this season, and he's averaging 8.7 points per game. I think probably the other standout asset at Hearts is Barry Mackay. He also scored in this game. He's pretty much the same, except he got one bonus point less than Shankland, and he's averaging 8 points per game. No clean sheet yet for Hearts. Gordon did dive the right way for the penalty, but it just kind of slipped under him. So that was a bit disappointing for Gordon owners. Cochran, he's the third highest scoring Hearts player after Shankland and Mackay. That's probably likely due to his two assists in one game, and then he got all three bonus points as well. Probably not rushing towards the Hearts defence just yet. There's a bit of a concern regarding rotation. When the European games come around, they do have a game against Zurich on Thursday night, and this fixture didn't seem to be affected, but we'll maybe find out more once next weekend rolls around. Not too much of a concern anyway, because they're going to be playing Celtic, so probably wouldn't be rushing to any Hearts players if you didn't own them at this point. Something to keep an eye on. Dundee United pretty much took off where they finished on Thursday after their 7-0 defeat. I don't think we can really consider any other players at the minute. I know there was a bit of a bandwagon with Levitt after the first game week, but I think that's kind of fizzled out. Donnie, what's your thoughts there?
Yeah, so I didn't have any assets in this game. My only Hearts player was Atkinson, who had changed. So I was kind of hoping for a dull 1-1. But Hearts had other plans. So seeing Shankland and Mackay getting on the score sheet was a bit concerning. I think one thing that's certainly improved with the game this season is the live score updates. You can see your position. You know, 1 minute I think I was top 10, and then you go down as soon as somebody scores or Hearts clean sheet, you go back up. So that definitely is good from a user point of view. It's one of the things they've got right this season. But Hearts were impressive. Dundee United, yeah, not so much. I think Hearts are probably going to hit what Dundee United had. You know, they've got Europe League, Europe, you know, Zurich away, Celtic away, Zurich at home. That's a tough run of games. Mm-hmm. And unlike United, they're going to continue to have that kind of fixtures. We've been in group stage of some sort. And I think that will really hit them. I think Dundee United probably being out of Europe helps them in a sort of strange kind of way. I think they can just focus now on the league and sort of build a few results together. I think Hearts, you know, not being experienced to this football every, you know, twice a week, it will take its toll. I, at the moment, don't have any Hearts assets. That's not going to change because they play Celtic. I'll review the situation after that as to whether I do. But, you know, Shankland, he is on the radar. If you don't have him, I've got Miovsky, so I'm not really that put out by it. But he does continue to shine. And Dundee United, yeah, just stay away. They'll be glad to see the back of this week.
Yeah, definitely. Peter, anything to add?
Not much to add. I'm square well covered on it. Dundee United, yep, I think. I mean, Heathcote makes a good squad. I look at their signings and I go, right, on paper, that's definitely a top 3, 4, 5 team in the SPFL. It's got to be. Jack Ross is a bad manager, all right, it's his fault, but he's not a bad manager. 16 year old normally. He took a pace in midweek, okay, and it looks like it has damaged their confidence. Then they played a team who's probably, well, they definitely are the third best team in the league, so they've took it apart after a European hangover. I've took Levitt out, so he's gone, so I'm not getting him out. I've not took him out yet, I will be taking him out, sorry. He was actually even playing a game the week there, he was also dropped, so hopefully they come good and then become some decent assets, because the goalkeepers, I think he's trying to get an Australian squad for the World Cup, and I believe the left back as well. So there's players I haven't got something to play for. I mean, there's only a couple of months before they have to. It's November it kicks in, so they're going to be trying to get in these squads. They just need to get the finger out, so to say. Hearts, I think, will be the same. I mean, they've got a big game on Thursday night. They want to be in the Europa League because obviously there's more money, the more prestige. They will not care if they get to the other one because it's still Europe, but they are going to struggle. I think it's a matter of fact. Most teams will struggle. If you haven't got a 2-11 teams that are competitive, you're going to struggle with playing two games a week, especially at a high-tempo competitive game. I mean, I hope, for my own team's sake, that we take advantage of it when we play them on Sunday. I've got Shanklin. That's probably the best decision I've made this season, is in Shanklin for game week one. He's been quite good taking over. I'll just bench him on Sunday, and if he comes on, he comes on. And there's too much rotation elsewhere. Everybody was on the Kingsley bandwagon at the start, but he got injured, and then he's been in and out. He's only played 20 minutes, I think. So, and he was, when he was playing, I believe, at the centre-back start, rather than playing one of the wing-backs. So, it's just a stay away. Mackay's the one that I think, now that I've downgraded Furuhashi, maybe Mackay first before Boyle. If Boyle, then you can also move about, depending on who hits form, but I think Mackay's a proven asset coming into the season. Having Shankle will be probably 1-2 for the moment points returned.
Yeah. Do you want to do the top 10 now?
Yep, when you go, Tom.
Yeah, so top 10 this game week, number one is Tate with 15 points, defender. Spittle, second, with 13 points, midfielder. Shankland, 13 points, forward. In fourth place, we've got Matondo with 12 points, midfielder. Yota, 11 points, also a midfielder. Tillman, 10 points, also a midfielder. Devlin at Hearts, 10 points, midfielder. Obalai, 10 points, defender. Nubly, 10 points, he's on forward. And Tav, 9 points, he's a defender. Also getting 9 points was Arfield, Van Veen and Kyogo, but for the sake of this, we're just going to forget about them. That gives us game week totals for game week 3, 0 goalkeepers, 3 defenders, 5 midfielders and 2 forwards. And total so far this season, 1 for goalkeepers, 10 for defenders, 14 for midfielders and 5 for forwards. So it probably makes sense to have your sort of staple forwards in the form of Miovski, Shanklin, Kyogo, and then focus your investment in midfield and defence. Your thoughts on that one, Donny?
Yeah, that's not surprising. As unlike other seasons, you've got a lot more choice up front, and at the moment, these guys are playing pretty well. Shanklin and Mackay are probably the two that are hurting me the most, but where I've got the rest of my money in my team, it's just a risk I'm going to have to take for just now. Goal-scoring defenders will always create a spike. Obalai was somebody that you could rely on last season, so it's not a surprise to see him scoring as well, and Livy will pick up clean sheets. So, yeah, there's some familiar names in there. It's starting to be a bit templatey, so it's just finding that difference and maybe getting the right captain, vice-captain, week in, week out.
Mm-hmm. Peter, your thoughts?
Just on Donny first, you'd sent me like a template. What was that again? Do you mean off the top of your head what the template was in your head?
It was probably similar to my team. I would have Tav, Lawrence, Kolak, Miovski, Furuhashi, and Jota, Ayunga, and then another Celtic defender. Mm-hmm. That probably only leaves you about 2 other places. But they all come at a price. So you are going to have to balance that out with, well, I've got Henderson, Mayo. So I just think there's certain players in certain teams that are just clicking for me off. Jota, Furuhashi, Tav, Kolak, they're all hitting for Miovski, that you can't not have them. Shanklin probably be in that list as well, but I'm lucky that I've got Kolak, Miovski and Furuhashi. You know, Shanklin could easily fit in there, but I'm still
well so far. So. So, thoughts, just the same. Tom, what I would say is, say the last couple of weeks, I think if you're casual playing this game, you've been quite lucky because there's all the named players that are returning. So, even if you're just playing this casually, you're probably getting good returns or you can keep you invested. That is going to come. We're only 3 weeks in. There's going to be 6 or 7 when you're going to start noticing new trends. Teams are going to start finding form. You're going to maybe start finding more cheap assets to get in your team that are playing and able to strengthen elsewhere. Indies are going to kick in as well, Europe. So, there's still lots of twists and turns to come this season for templates to be broke and cup games later on when you get double gaming stuff like that. It's just try to keep pace. Obviously, I didn't start quite well, but if I can keep raising up week to weekend, and I'm happy to near the top and we'll take it from there. Now you finished, Tom?
Yep.
We normally do a Donny's dive here, but we're too early in the season for a Donny dive, so we've got a Donny differential this week. So Donny hit as well.
That's right. So, yeah, there's not enough data really to go on to look in deep about certain teams or fixtures or anything like that. So what I'm going to do maybe for the next couple of weeks is just come up with a differential. So a player that's currently maybe on low ownership, in form and potentially overlooked. So it's only a recommendation. So if you follow it and it doesn't work out, don't blame me. So I'll run you through some information about the player, see if you can guess who it is. And then we'll break down why I think this could be a good one to take into your team. So the player this week is the 50th most owned player in the game at 5.7%. Above him is Liam Boyce and below him is Ollie Shaw. So you've got an idea there of how unfancied he is, because you wouldn't have probably either of those in your team at the moment. He has played all 3 games this season and he's got an average of 6 points per game. So that's quite a good one. He's scored 2 goals and he's also picked up 2 bonus points. Any guesses yet?
Tell me where you go first.
No.
Scored 2 goals?
You can go first.
Obalai.
No, I'll carry on. No. He's a penalty taker and is pretty much uncontested in his position for his club. And his next 4 fixtures are Livy away, Kilmarnock at home, Dundee United away, and Ross County at home. Any guesses before I reveal, Peter?
I'm totally flummoxed. You think I know? He scored 2 goals already. Is this yep. season or in the league?
Yeah, Dad, this season. Scored this game week, in fact.
Look, Donny, look, Tom, check his notes. Look.
Yeah.
Nah, I throw me.
Tom.
Tom's cheating.
He is.
No, I was just looking for inspiration. Van Veen.
His nickname is the Budget Bergkamp. It is actually Kevin Van Veen. So, if we look at him in a bit more detail, because he has got good fantasy football pedigree from last season, and probably went off the boil towards the end. He is priced at 5.4 million. So that's probably the first area of concern. It makes him more expensive than Miovski. But with so many attacking options, he is getting overlooked. So let's say you want to cash in on Furuhashi, or you've maybe picked Giakoumakis, Maeda, and you're not happy with the returns. It does give you a good out to make that downward move and free up the cash elsewhere. I think what's putting us off at the moment is that Motherwell did bomb in Europe, and then they subsequently lost to St Johnstone. But a 3-2 win at Pittodrie and him scoring the winner has gotten them back on track. They're currently fourth in the league with 2 wins out of 3, and they don't have any of the Old Firm in the next 4 fixtures. So he's the type of player that you can bring in and keep him in your team for a few weeks. I've always liked Kevin Van Veen. He's the type of player that if Motherwell play well, he'll play well. And the fact that he does take penalties, and as I said, he's uncontested, does make him an option in there. So Kevin Van Veen, that's my player of the week. Could make the difference. We'll just have to wait and see. Any comments on that, guys? Tom?
I think we're kind of, a vision of Motherwell's kind of skewed with the situation in Europe. And
yeah, like, I think that is the case.
Rovers, I think we're still having nightmares about that. So
it does make them tick. As I say, play generally goes through him. That's what catches my eye. Peter, you got anything to add there?
Yep, no, he's a good pick. Good, I think good differential pick. You want to get away for the pack. The only thing is his price, isn't it? He was really cheap last year, so you could easily go to when that gives you the incentive.
The only way you would want to do it is if you're coming down off of, Furuhashi is the obvious one, but if you've picked Giakoumakis or Maeda, thinking that they might do well, and you think, well, maybe not so much, you can go down in that direction, and then maybe bring in a Barry Mackay or somebody else elsewhere. So it was just interesting looking at his stats. He's never gets mentioned, but he has started the season pretty well, albeit Motherwell, they had that bad run.
Make it to the point where he's still consistently getting point returns, and
yeah,
Shatling is off the boil, Murphy goes the ball, and then just then make a switch to it. But then, as you say, he's unchallenged in his position, and he's on pens. What's not to like there? It's just
good fixtures, so you can just keep them in. You know, you've got the decision this week with your Hearts assets against Celtic that you're maybe just going to bench them. A lot of teams will have Rangers and Celtic coming up, and they don't. So you can keep them in your squad for a few weeks, and you should get returns. But just one to take note of. Don't overlook them.
He loves a book as well. Hope he cuts out his game. He's like a yellow
card. That's true.
He loves a yellow card. Right, okay, we'll go on to questions now. Let them load them up. 4 questions this week, so start off with, right, so first one is Josh McCaffrey, so that's at @JoshMCC_05. After Shackle's return yesterday, do you think he's a better option than Kyogo and Morelos because they're only around 2 million cheaper? I'm just a bit concerned about Hart's European exploits and potential rotation. So can I discuss this already amongst ourselves? I kept Shackle and dumped Furuhashi, for the reasons I've said. Donnie, you've said the opposite. You trust him he's too dangerous, is the word that you used, so he's going to return. Yeah. I mean, and then as he said as well, Shankland's going to be in Europe soon as well. So, personally, I've stick with Shankland now. I think minutes are more nailed, but that could also change if the rotations could be quite extreme in Europe. I mean, I could change him out this week. You just mentioned Van Veen, but I'm happy to sit him on the bench because I want him back in again. But he's kind of on fire right now. There's probably merit for both decisions. Me personally, I've went to Shankland, but I'll let you speak, Donnie, and you're going to say the opposite, aren't you?
No, absolutely. Exactly what you said there. I don't see him a better option than Kyogo, and probably the way Kolak's playing, I don't really see him as a better option than him either. That being said, he fits in, if you know, in any of those. I've got Kolak, Miovski, and Kyogo. I could take any one of them out and put Shankland in, and I've still got a good team. So it's just whether, as Josh says, they've got this European run now that will start to hurt them. And not having gone through that before, you know, playing on the Sunday once all your other teams have played and maybe fallen behind, it will start to take its toll. But he is good. The minute one of my strikers go cold, that's who I'm bringing in, or Kevin Van Veen. but it's you're just going to have to go with the eye test. If you've got him, stick with him. Okay, the Celtic game, you might not get anything, but he's going up in value week on week. I would just hold him. If you don't have him and you've got the others that I've mentioned, again, you're probably going to be all right. It doesn't answer this question, but
I know there's both benefits to both ways.
Yeah,
I know you mentioned Barella's there, but obviously he's not back in the first team regularly yet, so there's really no point discussing that. I mean, there's no reason why you can't have both in at the same time. I'm quite sure Majowski won't keep this up all season either, and he could easily be a shift out for a new blade. You could have both in your team. What about yourself, Tom? Yeah. Thoughts on the Kyogo and Shankland debate?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of goes deeper than that because there's such a discrepancy in the prices. Like Kyogo's 7.8, Shankland's 5.something. You're freeing up quite a lot of money there. If you go down to Shankland, it's kind of like a combination of players. Like, what's going to score more? I mean, I'm looking at my team just now. Who's going to score more over the season? Kyogo, Ewan Henderson, and Mayo or Scales, or would it be Shankland, a decent midfielder, you know, like Mackay or something like that, or even just someone scoring more than Ewan Henderson? And then you've still got money to upgrade. I mean, it takes away one of your Celtic assets, so you could potentially upgrade one of your defenders and go double Celtic defence. So you've got to look at it as a block of players. What combination is going to score more over the next few game weeks or over the season or whatever like that, and then suss out whether you think it's going to be good value or not. I think there's merit in it. It's the Shankland thing. I'm just concerned about the European fixtures coming up and how they're going to react to that. So I'm happy to hold on maybe one or two more game weeks to see how it goes and then take it from there.
I like that, Tom, with your FPL head on there with the block players and that. You see that quite a lot on the FPL chat. Well done. Right, next up is Ash at AshNairn88. Do you think Aberdeen will start keeping clean sheets? I've got Roos, but who else a good option for goalkeeper outside of the Old Firm, Tom?
Well, you guys want to impress with Roos. I'm not going to go against the grain. I think there's probably better options out there. Three game weeks in, it's not a huge sample size, so it's difficult to tell, particularly when you rule out Celtic and Rangers, because Hart has not been doing too badly. If you want to use that as your kind of third, if you're getting rid of Kyogo, you could bring in Hart. McLaughlin seems a lot more nailed at Rangers as well, so that's an option. But outside that, maybe looking at the lad at St Mirren, not St Mirren, Livingston, his name escapes me. I'm kind of gunning for Fortress Tony Macaroni here, so I'm going to keep the dream alive on that one. So he could potentially be my pick, but it's difficult to tell.
It's still too early in the season, I think. I mean, it's game week three. They basically have got a brand new back five. I mean, we discussed this in the last couple of weeks. It's just annoying you when you own two of them. We all jumped on Roos because he's a cheap goalkeeper, but then we've got Scales because he's a cheap enabler as well. I mean, you know what will happen? The week will come off and they'll keep a clean sheet. That's what's going to happen. It happens all the time in this game. No other goalkeeper for me right now is materialised as the go-to option. So he's so cheap. We're getting price rises on him. You just stick the now and just, you have to bite the bullet. I mean, you're going to... I like the Hart shout is sound on paper, but you're giving up a spot elsewhere. I know I say this all the time on this podcast. You're going to look at the end of the season and probably the two top goal scorer keepers will be Celtic, Rangers, Rangers, Celtic, all the way down different positions, unless you have an outlier like Ferguson and stuff like that. But it's whether you lose the points there to gain them in defenders or a midfielder. So I'm happy to give him a week or two still to go. And then after that, a decision will be made. And hopefully by that time, a goalkeeper has arised out the rest of the bad bunch that we can kind of maybe hang our hats on. Thoughts, Donny?
Yeah, pretty much what you have both said. It is a concern. the way they're conceding goals. Scales for me going to hold because he's got attacking returns, but yeah, the goalkeeper is an issue. This weekend's the test, as I said in the game overview. If they can't keep a clean sheet against St Johnstone, then there probably is no hope for them. But the alternatives, without breaking the bank, you've got Carson at St Mirren and Birgitte at Dundee United. He seems to let in goals for fun. So other than that, you're going to have to go up to probably only Gordon and Hart that offer true value, and that's going to kill your budget. So maybe your best just to hold on to him. He did get save points against Celtic. I think he had 7 saves in that game. So he is someone that will get your returns. As you say, it's probably just too early to make that decision. You don't want to make a change in a goalie under normal circumstances. So probably just kind of have to be patient, unfortunately, in that one.
I'd also thought that maybe Gordon would have a price drop with these no clean sheets so far, but that hasn't happened. So maybe next week people might have started to come off him. People are more casual, getting annoyed that he's not keeping clean sheets. Maybe look elsewhere. But again, we'll have to keep it on week to week and see what happens. Right, next up. Sutty Show. So this is an in-depth question. 7 teams used all 5 subs at weekend, 2 others using 4. What squad tactics would be used to try and minimise 1-point cameo appearances? Right, I'll go first. I didn't even realise because so far the players I've played, I think it's really affected them yet. So maybe it's just we're lucky we've been picking more nil players who are getting over the 60 minutes. So me personally, it was a case of if you notice these players happening all the time in your team, then you've got to maybe shift them out. I mean, when I mentioned Burnaby, dummy drunk driving is kind of joking me, but seriously, FF is point to take it. That's tail going to be nailed for the foreseeable. So there's your go-to there. Nicky Devlin, Livingston, for example, right back, captain. McGregor, captain. Tav, captain. There is a way to minimise the risk. But if you're having players that are going to be like on the fringe, like Ewan Henderson or Cheeps, you just run the risk of having these players on your team. You're just going to accept it. They're so lowly priced. I'm not guaranteed the minutes. You're going to take a risk. Donny, thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the rule change in European games coming up, Hearts, Rangers and Celtic are all going to protect their players. My advice is just to monitor. For example, Rangers, you've got Tav and Goldson play every minute. They're pretty safe bets. Whereas Yilmaz, Barisic, Sands, Davies, Suter, they're all getting rotated. So you're probably just going to have to stick with minutes played as your guide. On the flip side, we've talked a lot about Kyogo. He may only play 60 minutes and you're probably just going to have to accept that. And you know, hopefully 9 times out of 10, you get your returns on that game time. You certainly can't pick your team around it. You're just going to have to, points per minute, just go with the guaranteed starters, the guaranteed players that play all, and just take it from there. Everyone's going to be affected by this, so you're just going to have to bite the bullet and accept it.
It does tell you in the app, minutes played, and obviously you can monitor it yourself, looking, going, right, this guy's getting dangerously close to getting put off for 60-minute mark and stuff like that. You can make your move. But as you said, it's just a case of you're on the risk. It's going to happen to you. There's going to be times where you're going to watch a game and then, for example, Furuhashi is going to get pulled on 55 minutes and you're going to be raging because your vice-captain hasn't scored yet. But that's just the risk you take with these kind of players and the new substitution rules. Tom, thoughts?
Yeah, it's just the same sort of thing, really. Try and pick as many nailed starters as possible. Try and make sure you've got your phone handy when it's 15 minutes before the deadline because you're going to get some early team lineups because that'll help. You don't always have to do a transfer in these circumstances. If your player isn't playing, you can always just stick them on the bench and use the bench trick. The bench trick is quite helpful. You can kind of sort of try and predict things. I'd imagine Kyogo's perhaps going to be benched and Giakoumakis may start when the European games start to kick off at certain points or around about Christmas time when the fixture congestion. So, as I said, you might just have to accept that. But try and pick nailed starters. That's probably the best thing to do. I'm sure a lot of us have been stung this season on FPL with Bailey, and that was always the first rule of FPL, pick nailed starters. That's probably the best way to go.
On that as well, League Cup starting soon, so if players start getting dropped in the League Cup, you're assuming using the better knowledge that they're going to play the league game afterwards.
Yeah.
Same might go for Europe, like as you mentioned, if Celtic goes home, for example, St Johnson, and we've got somebody in Wednesday night, maybe away to Spain somewhere, a good chance that Jim Akins will start the league game, and Furuhashi would start the. It's just a, it's more than especially because much information you can get to yourself and more make your best decision you could possibly make with information at hand. Right, last question is from Lily C. That's at Lily Cammy. Now that Starfelt is back, what does that mean for Jens? His last two performances and the fact he's 3 million seems too late, no, but it's too, is it too late now? Can I call this already in the pod? Obviously injured, I've kind of heard that he's not injured, so he's fine. What's your thoughts on this, Tom?
I think we kind of mentioned it previously on the pod that Celtic were linked with Jens last summer, didn't get him, bought Starfelt, and now Jens shows up. So I think he's probably Ange's preferred option. He did have the knock, but he, as you said, he's fit. So it sounds like he's going to be, for me, I think he's probably going to be fairly nailed. The fact that he scored 2 goals in the last 2 games is quite promising as well. Although Starfelt did come on and score a goal despite only having 1 assist last season, so that kind of put a bit of a fly in the ointment there. But I'm still backing Jens as the as Carter Vickers' sidekick.
Donny?
Yeah, I mean, I asked the same question at the weekend because we all want the cheapest way into to Rangers and Celtic, and he obviously offers that. I have gone Taylor. And from a consistency point of view, he is going to play, he is going to get the clean sheet points, but he's not really offering much else. The issue with Celtic is you're not getting any team news, and that's going to be the same this weekend. So you could make the change and he's not in the lineup, and you know, it's a bit of a pest. The minute I see, well, probably the night, if he plays against Hearts, I will probably try and make the jump, depending on my transfer situation, get rid of Taylor, who's gone up in value, move to Jens. He'll then go up in value and then use the cash elsewhere. But as Taylor's uncontested, just going to stick with him for the moment.
Yeah. Just on that one thing, we'll talk about rotation. Centre-backs are probably least likely to be subbed off. So if you did have Jens in and he's not playing, it's very unlikely unless injury is going to come on. So your bench trick would work with somebody else. You wouldn't kind of get the one pointer. It's just obviously the weekend there was an injury kicked in and then they kind of all, as we kind of jinxed it, but we talk about it. But I think this colleagues will probably work out who's going to be first choice, second choice, then we can take it from there. Because you say, Donny, we'll get Taylor price rises and Jens is sitting there, so it's an obvious move. He's more of an attacking threat. He's probably more of an assist threat as well, with the kind of going for the back. So if he's nailed, he's, I think we'll be pretty much everybody's team going forward. Right, we will move on to the last segment of the show, or last segments of the show. So fixtures for the next game week, a couple of tasty ones this week. We've got on Saturday the kickoff, Hibs vs Rangers, St Johnstone vs Aberdeen, Ross County Kilmarnock, Motherwell Livingston, Dundee and St Mirren, and then on Sunday, Celtic vs Hearts. So having heard those fixtures, what is your current captain, vice-captain and transfer thoughts, Tom?
Well, Hibs haven't been great shakes, so I could probably afford to go captain Tav. Again, I'm vice captain. I'm quite happy with Miowski so far. They're playing St Johnstone. You're looking to target those guys. I think that's probably a good fixture target as well. So, vice captain Miowski, he's done quite well so far.
Donny?
Yeah, it's very similar. Transfer wise, I don't particularly need to make any transfers. Unless the team news dictates otherwise, but definitely captain Tav. As I say, not had a penalty this season. Hibs are prime candidates to give away one, so quite happy with that. The order I'm a vice captain would probably be Miowski, Kyogo, and Jota. Jota tends to get, well, he does has score, but he obviously gets assists as well, which don't help in the vice captaincy. So Miowski, Kyogo would both offer value there, and then Jota, I think that's the Hearts game, could be a good one. But captain Tav for me.
Sorry, Tom, quick to ask you, a transfer plan?
I don't know, I'm generally quite happy with my team. I suppose if Yilmaz isn't playing, I might have to shift him on. I can't afford him not to play after not playing last week as well. That would be a concern, so I'd probably have to shift him on. For who? I'm not quite decided yet.
Right. So I am captain Tav still. My transfer probably will be Atkinson out this week. And I might take the punt on Jens, like I just stop myself in it. And if he's nailed, he's nailed. If he's not, he probably won't come on. That gives me a third Celtic asset. I know it's Hearts at home, but I'm playing a lot on this European game on Thursday night. I think Celtic will be much fresher. I think it should be quite easy this game. I know it's could come back, but I think it should be quite an easy game. Vice captain, I mean, I've got up front right now is Kolak, Majorski and Shankland. If Kolak's playing against Hibs, a bit of a team news, I think I'll just keep it on Kolak because he's looked quite good. He looks like he's starting to get, as Donny mentioned, they're all playing better as a team together. He looks like he's... The first game, he wasn't really impressed with him, but he looks like he's learned quite quick. It's 3-3, isn't it, Donny? 3-3 for him so far?
Yeah, yeah. He's come on to a game.
I don't see any reason why not. I've talked down Hibs' defence, and he's playing up front for Rangers, so to me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. That's it so far. Right, that's a fixture, Chris. Right, so one more thing. The Regan Charles Cup round 2, leg 1 scores were online. So if you haven't seen them, what are you looking for? You're still in the cup. This concludes in game week 4. You're still in the cup. Donny, how close are you? Think? What is the score? I don't remember here.
I'm a point ahead.
You're a point ahead. What about you, Tom? You are 4 points behind. So they're still relatively close games. So hopefully you are still representing the podcast next game week. And once again, I'll update the scores when it comes up and I will get the next round draw probably in the next podcast again that we've done last time because it's quite easy to do that way. Right. Plugs, Tom. Get your plugs in.
I am at @FFS_Scout on Twitter.
Donny.
I am at @FFS_Donny.
And I'm at Fantasy Half. We'll be back later in the week with another podcast covering FPL. So if you're into that, no problem. We're going to do a kind of short pod on it. We'll just flesh it out. We all play the game. We like to talk about it. It's too much content for this podcast. Talk about an hour, 30 minutes. I don't be quite listening on. So by separate podcasts, you might listen, you do. If not, you don't need to. We'll try to do that. I wouldn't say it's going to be weekly. It'll just depend on our time scales and what's going on in the game. So say goodbye, guys, and we'll be back later on. Bye, Donny.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.